Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. That's where you can find all the things that we do here, and the first one is where you can find the show and all the other things that we do here at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Askjim.biz is our knowledge base where you get small business answers now, so I hope you'll check those out. Use them to your advantage. By the way, I just had Mustafa Mansour with the Federation of Malaysian Manufacturers. The International Chamber Congress is going to be, the World Congress, I should say, of Chambers, is going to be in Kuala Lumpur in 2009. I have that website, kl2009.com. KL for Kuala Lumpur, kl2009.com. So check that out, folks. David Frost is in front of me. David is General Director, or Director General, I should say, of the British Chambers of Commerce, and he's my new friend. David, welcome to the show.
Morning, Jim. Great to be here.
It's good to have you here. Welcome to the United States.
Thank you.
I know you've been here many times.
I have. First time to Pittsburgh.
It's how you like Pittsburgh?
I think it's fantastic. I think it's a model, clearly, for many parts of the world as to how a city can reinvent itself, a city that's been has a lot of industry that's gone, and how it's now facing up to the challenges of the 21st century and doing a great job.
You know that word, reinvention. Mustafa and I, you may have heard, we just talked about that, how Malaysia had to is converting from an agrarian economy to an industrial economy. Pittsburgh's had to do that. A lot of cities in the United States, but actually across the world, are having to do that. Your own country, England, the British Isles. You guys are there's a lot of changes over there. Ireland's changed quite a bit, et cetera, et cetera. 21st century, we're not in Kansas anymore, are we?
No, we're not. I mean, there are challenges, but what you need is clearly a balanced economy. I'm never a great believer that you can somehow survive on just services alone. Yeah. I think what we've got to do, and not just in the UK, countries across the globe, is essentially to say, well, we've got to move into value-added. We've got to realize that the low-cost production we're never going to be able to do here, but we've got to use our brains and our skills to move up market. But I think what you should have is a balanced economy where you've got strong manufacturing, strong services, and a strong public sector. As well, really three broad strands to the economy.
Isn't one of the great things I think about the 21st century is that we have now the ability to move almost everything around the globe fairly efficiently, including labor now. And this is not some political scheme. It's just the development of our intellectual ability to do these things. And so every country, especially in the developed world, has got, it seems to me, David, has got to focus on making sure that we do the things that we have the ability to do, and for developed countries, that means leading the way in 21st century manufacturing, 21st century innovation.
Yeah.
Try to get hung up on 20th century things that we used to do, like textiles and things like that.
Well, I mean, I think the big change is, Jim, that now, as you say, the future for any advanced economy lies in people's skills and in their brains.
Yeah.
And broadly, if business can't get those brains attracted to where it's doing business, it will move. It's a mm-hmm. big change from the 19th right. century, where you put a plant up and people came from the land to
the
factory.
Mm-hmm.
And now, because of, you said, it's knowledge-based, companies will go where the talent is. And what we've seen certainly in the UK, it's a lot of migration from Eastern Europe over the last 4 years. About a million people from Poland in particular have come across. Been a huge benefit for business, providing skills, providing attitude, and really helping the British economy.
So what has England had to do to reinvent itself?
Well, I think when I look at England over the last 12 years, I think there's been a remarkable change. I think, firstly, the government has understood the benefits of open trade. Really, you can't protect markets. You go where you have the real skills, you have the real ability. We've got a very stable political system. We've got a government and of all persuasions that are being very pro-business, and that has helped put the UK on the map. And also, when I look at it, compare ourselves to our European neighbours, we have a very flexible labour market, and that's played well in the business. We've created a lot of jobs, and the UK is truly a great place to do business.
What about small businesses? You know, as you know, that's my background. Those are the people I serve, small business owners, and not just small business owners in the United States. I mean, I talk to people who are listening, small business owners, and those who want to be are listening to my show all over the world right now on the internet. So I consider myself serving those people as well. What is the environment like for small business owners in England?
It's good. I mean, there's been about 600,000 net extra companies formed over the last 10 years. It's been seen as an economy where you can start, you can grow a business. And of course, as you know, Jim, I mean, with the internet, with the web, you literally can start a business now,
right,
and you can be trading across the globe. And the big change now, when you look at the aspirations of young, bright people that are starting business, from day one, they're saying, we should be exporting. We should be putting our services across the globe.
Well, and as I was just talking to Mustafa from Malaysia in the previous segment, the more we trade, the closer we become, don't we?
Absolutely. We are a truly global economy. Mm-hmm. I mean, businesses, consumers, people with skills, the workforce are literally operating on a global basis. The very fact that I'm here talking
exactly.
to U.S. chambers.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll tell you what, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about small businesses in England, but also I want to talk about the chambers of commerce, how they're structured in England, how they're different from those in the United States, if at all. We're going to take a quick break, folks. It's 29 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, broadcasting live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, at the American Chamber of Commerce Executives Conference, an organization that I've been supporting for a long time. Anytime I can talk about small business and chambers at the same time, I'm in heaven.
Yep, he's done it again, folks.
Oh, no, not again. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third year in a row.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
He's Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. I'm broadcasting live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, at the American Chamber of Commerce Executive Conference, ACCE. That's ACCE.org, by the way. You want to check that out. It's an organization that promotes chambers across the country and around the world. David Frost is my guest right now. He continues to be with me. He's Director General of the British Chambers of Commerce. How does a British chamber differ? And, of course, you're the leader of the overall chambers in England. But you have local chambers mm-hmm. over there, just like we have local chambers here.
Correct.
How do they differ from a chamber here in the United States?
What's happened in the UK over recent years is we've had a really coming together merger of a lot of chambers. So we have only 55 chambers in the
is
UK.
Is that right?
Yeah. So and what we've seen is chambers coming together to form a lot of big, powerful chambers, some with 5,000-6,000 members.
And why has that happened?
Well, I mean, it's something personally I believe in very strongly, that what we should be doing to provide a really good, high-quality service to the business community is having powerful organisations that attract the best business leaders, mm-hmm. able to bring in the best executives. So you have strong metropolitan chambers. We're still retaining the very individual local identity, and it clearly is working. They're playing a major part in economic development, able to deliver high-quality services to the business community.
I can see where that kind of consolidation would be good for the efficiencies, as you were indicating. I can see where it would be good for regionalism, so that one chamber is not fighting another chamber in the region. But how does it serve small businesses? Are small businesses being served with this kind of consolidation?
Oh, absolutely, because we're seeing that in membership growth. But we've got to bear in mind that chambers serve business of all sizes.
Right.
So in the UK, they're from the very largest to the very smallest. And we have to have a package of services, advocacy, as you would call it over here, that really benefit all sectors. Because what they do, what differentiates, I think, a chamber from any other business organization is that community spirit, that community feel, the pride,
right,
the business community want their areas to be the best. And I've certainly sensed that over here. But what the great thing is about Chambers is that it is a truly global brand.
Right.
The fact that I've come over here, I'm sitting here in Pittsburgh talking to dozens and dozens of Chamber BAM executives, and immediately I've got something in common. We're a Chamber of Commerce. You know your previous speaker from Kuala Lumpur,
right.
whether it's the Far East, whether it's the continent, South America, there, from a business perspective, if you're out there, you're wanting to do trade, there is a brand that immediately you can link into.
Absolutely. Well, Chambers, and I've said this many times before, Chambers, the beauty of a chamber is it cuts across, in a community especially, it cuts across all the boundaries, the politics, the education, the manufacturing, the retail, it cuts, and the government, it cuts across all the boundaries in a way that no other organization does.
What has really impressed me, both in my job in the United Kingdom, but also here, is the sense of pride, the sense of community spirit, the sense of business wanting their area to be the best. That's what drives them, a competitive spirit. And that, I think, is why Chambers have survived, why they're unique, and why they play that really central, pivotal role in the community.
In the United States, a small business can join a chamber of commerce, I'm going to say, on the average, for $200 to $250 a year. Basic. What, out of curiosity, what does it cost for an average chamber for someone to join it?
That would be almost identical. There's no set fees, but from
so
very
probably,
from the smallest...
probably £125,
£150 to join. And that goes up. The majority of chambers do it on the basis of the number of employees
right.
a company has.
How about volunteerism in England? Are your chambers able to get their members to volunteer and support what you guys are doing?
They are, and I think the reason...
Because that's the backbone of a chamber.
The reason for that is because of the chambers coming back to this being part of the community. The business owners, the business leaders, they live there, their families are there, their kids
right.
are educated at schools there, and they have a pride. So the very people that come into the chamber, that rise to the top of the chamber, that come under the boards, want... To play a role, whether that's working as mentors within schools,
right.
Whether that's doing environmental programs, which increasingly, whether that's in terms of economic development board, they're right at the center.
What's your website?
My website is www.britishchambers.org.uk.
.org.uk.
Yeah.
Chambers, plural. Hey, David,
S.
I've enjoyed our visit. Will you come back another day?
I certainly will, Jim.
Let's do this again.
Been a great pleasure.
Yeah, me too. David Frost, ladies and gentlemen, with the he's Director General of British Chambers of Commerce. We'll have him back another day. We got a lot more questions to ask him. But right now, I got to take a quick break. I'm going to be right back in a few minutes with R.P. Swamy. He's from India. Remember, this is our international hour this week. It's 20 till the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
You have to go on and pull it all down.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.